praise you, Lord, tonight in this place. That name of Jesus, 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 Jesus. It is great. And we praise you and give you glory and honor in this place. Hallelujah. Well, you may be seated. Praise God. Amen. The Lord is good and his mercy endures forever. Aren't you glad? As I was over there, man, I tell you, Brother Bill got up here and got exhorting, and I was ready to take off. I think if somebody to run, I would have run with you. I just kept thinking, you know, that little presence of the Lord is here. The presence of the Lord is here. I can feel him in the atmosphere. The presence of the Lord is here. My, my, my. Something's happened. I'm telling you. Praise the Lord. I think we had a divine deposit happen at camp meeting, and it's still here. About the presence of the Lord and just the glory to God. I tell you, we had, praise God. Amen. It's so wonderful. As always, it's an honor to be in this pulpit all the time, especially on a night when Pastor Hagin generally is here. And so it's a great honor, and we never take that lightly. Praise God. We have pastors who not just pastor us, they pastor many thousands all around the world. And of course, those of you watching on the e-church, and then those of us here, and we thank God for them, and are happy for them to be able to get some rest anytime that they are able. And we trust he's not watching tonight. Amen. So they can really rest. Praise the Lord. Well, if you have your Bible, I want you to turn it over to Ephesians chapter 2. Many of you probably weren't here because we had a few folks here, but you know, the Sunday night after camp meetings, usually a time of people trying to recover. But I started talking about something that I want to continue to talk about, and that is the culture of faith and our citizenship in the kingdom of faith. I want to talk about that a little bit tonight, and I hadn't thought about it, to be honest with you. I knew that there were some things involved with somehow it was tied to the words that we speak. But as we were ministering that night, I heard these words come out, that in order to place yourself into a new culture and fully be comfortable in that culture, you must understand and be able to speak the language fluently. And there is a language of faith. There is a culture of faith, and there is a language that goes with it. Now, we'll look at a couple of scriptures tonight, but I think a lot of times what people think is faith isn't really faith. But we're going to look tonight at just a few things. But I want us to start here in Ephesians chapter 2. In verse 12, it says that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. We could say it this way. We had no rights, privileges, or citizenship in God's family whatsoever. We were outside. We were aliens. Okay? And you know, how many of you are like me? You went to church for years as an illegal immigrant. You weren't saved. You just went to church, in a sense. Right? But thank God, this whole chapter is talking about it. He gets over here down to verse 19, though, and he says, now, see, that was at that time past. Now, those of us that are in Christ, now, therefore, you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. See, I'm not a visitor anymore. I'm not an expat. I'm not someone who has citizenship in another land and now I'm living in another country. No, I am actually a citizen, full rights and privileges of the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of faith. I like how the Message Bible says this here in verse 19. He says, that's plain enough, isn't it? You're no longer wandering exiles. Listen to this. This kingdom of faith is now your home country. You're no longer strangers or outsiders. You belong here. with as much right to the name Christian as anyone. God is building a home. He's using us all, irrespective of how we got here and what he is building. The kingdom of faith is now your home country, he said. Turn over with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Hallelujah. Now, as you're finding that, I was reading earlier because there was something in Acts chapter 22, and I didn't put that on my list, but I just want to kind of paraphrase what happens there in Acts 22. Paul has been brought again before council to give a defense. And he tells about his encounter with Jesus on the road to Damascus. And so after the leaders, after they had heard what he had to say, they said, take this guy away. He said, he's not even fit. There's nothing about him. He shouldn't even live any longer. Put him to death. And so the Romans came, the chief captain came and brought him into the castle there. And they said, let's examine him by scourging. What does that mean? They're going to torture him, try to get some information out of him. And so they bound him up, tied him up, and they're about ready to start whipping him. And he looks at the soldier, he says, is it lawful for you to scourge, to beat, to imprison a Roman without proper charges being brought against him? And the man says, wait right here. And he goes out and gets his chief captain. And he brings him in. And he says, are you a Roman citizen? He said, the chief captain said, I had to pay a high price to buy my citizenship. But the apostle Paul looked at him and said, I was free born a citizen. I was born into this citizen. Didn't cost me a thing. I was born a citizen. Amen. Now 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. First part of verse 18, and all things are of God. We've been born again. We've been adopted into the family. I love what Barclay's notes say concerning the adoption of us into the family. He says, all your rights and privileges with your old family no longer exist. It's as if you never lived before. You are totally in the sight of the law, a brand new person, with all now the rights and privileges of a new family. Yes. That's who we are. Amen. That's who we are. But I don't know about you, but as I read the Bible, I realize this new family is radically different than what I was raised in and what I see in the world. It's radically, and the further you get into it, doesn't the world, as you look back at and you see what's going on in the world, don't you look and say, are they of the same species? What? Who is that? The problem is, you're from a different country. Amen. Have you ever been around some folks speaking a language you didn't understand? You're an outcast to that, aren't you? You don't have any idea what they're saying. Praise the Lord. And the world and the church, the body of Christ, speaks a different language. And we need to learn the language of God, if you will, the language of faith, so that we can fully assimilate into this culture of God. See, one of the characteristics of every culture is their language. Amen. It's interesting, you know, thinking about, for instance, Spanish. And you got some, you know, now in Colombia, the native Colombians, they think they speak perfect Spanish, better than the Spaniards. Their Spanish is whoo, right? And right next to them, Peru is about the same. But then you have the Spanish spoken in Mexico, and then you have the Spanish spoken here in Tulsa. Right? Now, it's all Spanish to me. But you realize to certain people, well, you know, we're all that way in the body of Christ. We're at certain places. And the thing about what I may hear, because, you know, I've been at this 37 years, you have been at it 37 months, there's a difference, right? And so my job is not to put your language down, it's to help you get to where I've gone to. Amen? You know, I remember I was talking to somebody here just recently, and I'll never forget sitting in class, and Brother Hagin saying, he said, it took me all these years to learn these things, to learn faith and to learn these things. I'm teaching you these things here in these 2 years. I've been teaching you. And I said, go out there and start where you are now instead of where I had to start. Go out there and go. And if you don't get going, I'm going to run out there and kick you in the seat of the pants and tell you to get going. Amen? Now, yes, praise the Lord. Yeah. You know, think about that, about Paul. I was talking about Paul there. You know, they didn't beat him. They didn't scourge him. They let him go. He was a citizen. Next time the devil comes your way, tries to bind you up with some sickness or disease, some poverty, some lack, some way of thinking, something that's not in the body. It's not part of our kingdom. It doesn't belong. Say, wait a minute. Is it lawful for you to scourge me who is freeborn into the family of God? Absolutely not. We're in a new family. Glory to God. Now let's look at, I quoted 2 Corinthians 5. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4. The language of faith. You know, and it's come out different ways. Some people picked up on this and Norman Vincent Peale talked about the power of, you know, positive words, but he actually, the first title he ever put on that was The Power of Positive Confession of the Word of God. He based all that he did on what God's Word, but, people say, well, that won't sell. You know, if you don't talk about it from this standpoint. But how many of you have heard people talk about self-talk? You know, that's really meditation. That's what meditation from the Word of God is. In the Word of God, meditation is not, I won't even try to sit like that because that's not happening, folks. How many of you remember tornado drills in public school? Had to go out in the hallway and sit against the wall? I mean, now don't look at me now and think about this, but when I was in elementary school, I was skinny little dude, but I could not sit like that. And I'm telling you about time. And then they said, well, just get on your knees. And I'm telling you, I'm in pain. I'm thinking, I hope the building does fall on me because this hurts. Flexibility has never been one of my strong suits as far as, you know, that kind of thing goes. Praise the Lord. I don't know what that had to do with my sermon, but anyway. Look here. Let's read a scripture that'll help me. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13. Now we, having the same spirit of faith, don't think of it as in a spirit like some type of being. He's really talking about an attitude here. You ever heard anybody say that they got a spirit about them? That's what he's talking. That's what the word really means here. Same attitude of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak. Now, the Bible said when Jesus in Mark chapter 11 there, he said, have the faith of God, or the God kind of faith. Here he says he called it the same attitude of faith. So we know this about God. God never says anything that he doesn't believe. So in the culture of faith, and speaking the language of faith, we speak only what we believe. That's why Jesus said anything else other than yes or no, sometimes you're going to get yourself in trouble. All right? We speak what it is that we believe. We believe it, and therefore we speak it. That's why he said in Mark 11:23, whatsoever things you, or whosoever shall say to this mountain, be removed, be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but believe that those things that which he says shall come to pass, he will have whatsoever he says. See, we're not talking about some magic formula here or something, you know, and that type of thing. This is the way God operates. Now we can see this. Look at Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. And then I want us to do a practical thing and just kind of illustrate what we're talking about here. Learning to confess in one sense And to confess God's word means to say the same thing that God says. To agree with God and then to say that. Really, to believe is to agree with God. With God's word. I agree with what God said about it. Right? And every time, have you ever noticed, every time, we always have a choice to believe or not to believe what you're told. Okay? Now that's why, that'll help you. If you need to go to the doctor, by all means, go to the doctor. And the doctor gives you a report. All right? And they're telling you the facts as they, at the best of their ability. I've never met a doctor who's trying to lie to me. All right? They're telling me the facts to the best of their ability. All right? So, but you know, in the Old Testament, talking about whose report are you going to believe? All right? I can hear that. Yes, okay, I understand that. But I have a greater report. I've talked to you before about here, but it bears witness again. I've got a watch here that has a second hand. This one happens to have a second hand because I learned I don't have to have a digital watch to tell time. I'm that old, I learned it that way. Anyway, you know, as I look at that, here in just 1, 2, 3 seconds, it became 7:47, according to my watch. Or 43, according to my watch. See, you believe me that I can tell time. I really can. I just looked at it the wrong way. But you know, 1 second after that, the fact of what time it was changed. Facts are subject to change. The truth is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And the Bible says concerning Jesus that he's Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hebrews 13:8. So the truth, God's truth, let's put it that way, is something that is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I've seen it over the last 37 years in being in ministry and being a Christian myself and being in ministry. This month, 37 years ago, I preached my very first sermon. So this is kind of, you know, this is one of these, I'd rather be concerned about that anniversary than, my birthday. Not my marriage anniversary, that's the most important. My birthday, I don't really care all that much about. All right? But I've seen this, that the consistent application of the truth will change the facts. Consistent application. See, when the Bible says the just shall live by faith, faith is so you can put faith in what never changes. Right? You can't put faith in something that changes all the time. Any of you had those kind of coworkers or friends or teammates? You know, you get involved in team sports and there's a lot of things you have to do by faith. And when you have undependable or ever-changing teammates that, well, they don't, you know, they just don't like this today, so today they're not going to play. They're out there, but they're just not, you know. You can't put faith in, you cannot go to battle with unreliable folks. I'm so glad that the man who was paralyzed had four champions with him whom he could put his faith in. Not just in God, but in them, because he's paralyzed on a bed. They're letting him down through a roof, tearing the roof off, and they're letting him down in front of Jesus. You know, now we don't have a recorder, but he's got to be thinking, don't drop me, don't drop me, don't drop me. But God never changes. There's neither shadow of turning in him. Everywhere God, see, God doesn't cast a shadow because God is light. Everywhere God is, it's light. Day and night are the same with God. Hallelujah. And thinking about, you know, how the facts change, I love so much. I heard him say years ago when he brought it out again, it kept me in this year. Pastor Craig brought that out, that midnight only lasts a second. Hallelujah. It only lasts a second. If joy comes in the morning, just wait a second. It's morning now, hallelujah. It's time to rejoice. Because that day's over. This is a new day. And his mercies are new every morning. 12:01, new every morning. New mercies today. I'm not going to live off yesterday's mercy. I got new mercy today from God. New power from God. Romans chapter 4, verse 17 says, as it is written, I have made you a father of many nations, before whom him whom he believed, even God. And this is what he says, even God. Now, what does God do? Who quickens the dead or gives life to the dead and calls those things which be not as though they were. Someone said this, and it's written, said, who calls future events as though they were past realities. Calling those things which be not as though they were. Now notice it does not say calling those things which are as though they are not. You know, that's where some of our Christian brothers and sisters, bless their heart, they don't understand us because we've confused them. You know, you're walking around, you're in pain. You're walking around. Are you in pain? No, I don't have any pain. Well, you're not in faith. That's not faith. You're calling something that is, though the Bible didn't say to do that. The Bible said, yes, I'm in pain, but the Bible says, by Jesus' stripes I'm healed, and I believe the healing power of God is working mightily in me, affecting a healing and a cure. How much longer do you want to talk about this? Because I got more, you see. It's working in me. It's working in me. Well, when are you going to know you're healed? Oh, I'm already healed. I already know that. See, faith. Now, that's why, see, sometimes we've confused people because we denied it. Faith is not denial. I had a guy tell me one a long time ago. Well, you faith people, you see the puddle and say it's not there. No, I said, we don't say the puddle's not there. We use our faith and build a bridge over it. Glory to God.
Amen. That's right.
Amen. We don't deny it's there. We're denying it's right to stop us from going where we want to go. Amen. Hallelujah. Yeah. Calling those things that be not as though they were. And when I agree with what God says about me, I'm calling something that may not be in my life right now. Abraham called himself the father of many when he didn't have any. I wish I'd have made that phrase up, but I didn't. I heard somebody else say that. But he called himself that. He's Abram. Now all of a sudden he's going around telling everybody, I'm Abraham. Well, what does that mean? I'm a father of multitudes. Well, how many? Have you counted the sand lately? Because God told him, look at the stars. Can you count those? Count the sand. You got that many kids? Yes. I'm Abraham. He didn't have any kids. But God started calling him that. His wife is Sarai. We know God's already, she's at 70. In her 70, later in age, she's so beautiful, this king wants her for his own. But she's barren. Sarai means a contentious woman. Let me break that down to you in the English. This isn't the Greek. This isn't it. She was a nag. She's on his back all the time. Yeah. But then God did that. He said, no, you're going to be the... He changed her name to Sarah, which means princess of God. He changed her by calling her name. And now she starts telling him, I'm Sarah. She wasn't that immediately. She wasn't acting like a princess immediately. But she became the princess of God. He became the father of many nations. See, faith calls those things that be not as though they were. Now, you may not be, see, that's what we understand. That's how we get things that have been done. That's how we work out our salvation. It's been done on the inside. That's what God does. God made you righteous, the righteousness of God in Christ. But he's not going to make you live righteously. I have to do that. You have to do that. But part of it is by beginning to stand up and say, I am the righteousness of God in Christ. You see, because it will eventually take a hold of your thoughts and your words. Brother Hagin said it this way, if your thinking is wrong, your speaking will be wrong. And if your speaking's wrong, your believing's going to be wrong. If that's wrong, you're going to get wrong things. Now let's look here in Ephesians chapter 1. I want to go through something here and just kind of show you. And this is going to be lengthy here a little bit, but I'm just going to read it without making a whole lot of comment, if possible. Now we know that Brother Hagin taught us by the Spirit of God to pray these prayers, to pray Ephesians 1:17, pray that for ourselves, to change it from, I could pray for any Christian, I could put your name in it, or I could just say me and make it personal. But here just the other day, and this was, here again, you know, after 37 years, you'd think you'd seen it, you think you know a lot, but then all of a sudden, boom, it's just like, oh my. God who's like just turned a little bit, and you saw, oh. And I was reading this, in verse 3, starting in verse 3, and he said, did you ever notice there? Because I teach this class at Rhema. And I teach this that the us here is the saints and the faithful in Christ Jesus. It's written to us. It includes you and I. And he said, and as I was reading this, the Lord said, you know, you've been talking about us, but what about you? So I started reading it, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of my Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed me with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he has chosen me in him before the foundation of the world, that I should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated me into the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he has made me accepted in the beloved, in whom I have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he has abounded toward me in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto me the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure which he purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also I have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who works all things after the counsel of his own will, that I should be to the praise of his glory, who trusted in Christ, in whom I also trusted after that I heard the word of truth, the gospel of my salvation, in whom also after that I believed I was sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the down payment of my inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession under the praise of his glory. Then verse 17, that the Father, I pray that the God of my Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto me the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of you, the eyes of my understanding being enlightened, that I may know what is your confident expectation with joy of your divine summons and invitation to participate with your calling, and what the riches of the glory of your inheritance is in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of your power to me who believes, according to the working of your mighty power, which you wrought in Christ when you raised him from the dead and set him as your own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world but also in that which is to come, and has put all things under your feet and gave him to be the head over on his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. And I have you made alive, who was dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past I walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience, among whom also I had my manner of life in times past, in the lusts of my flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and was by nature the child of wrath, even as others, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love where he loved me, even when I was dead in sins, has quickened me together with Christ. By grace I am saved, and has raised me up together and made me sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards me through Christ Jesus. For by grace I am saved through faith, and that not of myself, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest I should boast. For I am his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good work, which God has before ordained that I should walk in them. Hallelujah. That's the language of faith. That's the culture of faith. I can't read it just normal. I'm sorry. That's a good sermon. But see, when you take it, You take those things that it says about us, make it personal, like Brother Hagin taught, make this prayer personal for you. But it wasn't just that prayer, that whole chapter, and you could really keep going and reading to where I got to in verse 19 earlier, keep reading that all and make it personal there.
Yes.
Glory to God.
Amen.
Now, see, that's why we need to take the New Testament. And every time, get that. Go out there and get that little book in him. And that list of scriptures in the back. And I'm gonna challenge you. Mark them in your Bible, but then get a notebook and write them out. And then underline those. Right? And then maybe after you write it out, get you another notebook and write them so they're personal to you. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. See, when you start making it personal for you, it's going to change who you are. Just like Abram became Abraham, just like Sarai became Sarah, you're going to become the righteousness of God in Christ. You're going to become more than a conqueror through him that loved you. You're going to become what the New Testament is. You're going to become a citizen, not just on the inside, but in words, deeds, actions, and experience, the kingdom here on earth. And then we'll even be greater ambassadors to this earth.
Yes.
Amen. You ever thought about an ambassador? Whenever they go to another country, that country doesn't pay their way. That country doesn't take care of them. That country doesn't decide the standard of living they do. They're taken care of, and their standard of living is determined by who sent them. We're sent by the Most High God to be an ambassador. We're not of this world, but we're in it. We are ambassadors for Christ. And our job is to do what? Is to take, and we don't, and the ambassador doesn't make up his own message. He takes the message of the government. We take this message. I got him. God was in Christ, not imputing your trespasses unto you. I beseech you by the mercies of God, be reconciled to God. But because we haven't known the language of faith, we took the message out and said, Comar, you're no good, dirty, rotten sinner. If you don't repent, you're going to hell. And somehow we won a few. But that's not working like being a ambassador of Christ is, and taking the message of reconciliation. I beseech you, therefore, brother, he said, I beseech, be reconciled to God. And literally said, I'm begging you, because why? I know how good it is. I know what it's like to be a citizen of this family. I know what it's like to have your past taken and totally wiped away. I know what it's like to go from Abram to Abraham, from sinner to dead to alive, to be transformed out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son. I can't, believe me, you've got to come with me. I can't just keep this to myself. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your sweet word. Help us to learn our culture, the culture of heaven, the kingdom of faith, and to learn the language of faith. Father, we bless you and we honor you this night. We give you praise. Hallelujah. In Jesus' mighty name. Do you know, Paul, one of the great aspects of this culture that's so different than the world is that in this culture and in this kingdom, we give. We give, for God so loved the world that he gave. Amen. I'll never forget, in 1996, I was in the nation of Kenya, and that we were talking about sowing and reaping. I said, God loves and he gives. And I'm his child, and I love, and so I love, and therefore I give. It went off, I mean, like just like revelation, bolt of lightning in that place. And you had people that were so worried about what was next, where they're going to, that they just start taking. We had a man, and we saw him this summer. We were there. He took off his shoes. These shoes were not good shoes. But when you grow up and don't have shoes all your life, and now you got a pair of shoes. I mean, no, these were beat up. They had holes all over them, everything. He put them in the offering basket and walked away from there that day without shoes. I was there about a year later, and I saw him 3 days in a row, and every day he had a different pair of shoes on. We saw him again this year. Interesting, he was in his shoes. He was limping. I asked him, what's wrong? He said, well, his foot's swollen up. So we sent people over and prayed for him, and God instantly swelled. He put his shoes back on and started walking around normal again. He's still there. I said, what happened? They said, well, that man, he didn't have a job. He said, within the week, he got hired to be a foreman of a sugarcane company, a cutting crew. Not a cutter, a foreman. He doesn't have to cut the stuff. Amen. And they told me, and I pulled him up in front. I was there a few years ago. Pulled him up in front of a bunch. We had a bunch of students here from Raymond there. I pulled him up and gave the testimony. Said, is that right, brother? If I'm wrong, you tell me. He said, no, that's right. That's right. He started giving everybody. He got everybody on his crew shoes. Amen. Oh, I don't know where you are. We're givers because that's our kingdom. And it's not according to what you don't have. It's according to what you do have. We're going to give tonight to people who have given us their life. Pastor Hagin laid down his life so that this church, so that this school could be what it is today. I mean, praise the Lord. I know somebody told me one time that they saw him on back when the school was up on Sheridan. They saw him walking on the side of the road. He'd run out of gas on the way to school. So he'd park the car, walk to school, taught the classes, not a dime in his pocket. God will meet your needs. Preaching it. We don't see that today. We don't see those things today. Amen. I have no problem honoring the man of God. I have no problem whatsoever. So we're going to receive that second offering. If you want to text to give 28950, take out an envelope. You can put cash in there, put a check in there, make it out to Rhema Bible Church, RBC. Put pastor's birthday on it or just Hagin in the note. We'll make sure he gets it. Gets all of it. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, any time up until then, you know, you can be given. If you're not prepared tonight, you can just do it without them knowing about it, okay? Let's pray and let's believe God. Father, we thank you tonight. We thank you for the life of Pastor Hagin. We thank you for his example of living in the kingdom of faith. Thank you, Father God. We give tonight to honor the man of God. And we thank you, Father, that he'd be blessed. We call him well and healthy. We call him strong. We call him blessed in Jesus' name. Amen. So go ahead, guys. Praise the Lord. Now we're going to let them finish taking up the offering. So you just kind of hang tight there. As soon as they're past you all in the prayer team, you can come on down. As soon as they're past you, then you come on down if you would, please. If you're here tonight and you need prayer for anything, come on down. Our prayer team will be here to pray with you. The ladies on my right, your left, the men on my left and your right. Come on down. These men and women are trained to pray according to the Word of God. Why? Because that's what gets results. We believe God's word. That's what's the truth. That is the unchanging, uncompromised word. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad that even after 37 years, you still learn new stuff all the time? Now, some of you have been in this longer than me. All right? You say 37 years? Phew. Well, I don't care how long it's been. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on down here, guys. Is that Jack Springer back there? Jack, stand up, Jack. You see Jack back there? Everybody turn around and look at him. Reach your hands. He and his wife are serving over there in South Korea. Let's pray for them. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, one of our missionaries from here, Father, we pray for them. You keep them safe. Keep them safe in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, they be led by your Spirit in all that they do. And that these years will be the greatest years that they've had in all the time and just keeps getting better and better. And in a long life, you satisfy them and show them your salvation until they're ready, if Jesus tarries, to lay it down. Father, we just thank you for them right now in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jack. I just saw you there and felt like the Lord wants to do that. Hallelujah. It's good to see Barry and Adrian here from the Ukraine and our directors there. I see the pickets over here from Iraq. Glory to God. If I'm missing anybody else, don't mean to, but it's always great this time of year to have folks in as they're able to be in and come with us and be here tonight. Amen. All right. It looks like, was that the last of them? Good. Okay. Let's all stand up if you would. Amen. All right, we all clear, Brother Bill? Everything ready? Be here Sunday morning. What is it? It's back to school Sunday. So be here Sunday morning. Hallelujah. Shake hands with somebody, say it, and tell them I'm a citizen of the kingdom of faith. And you can be dismissed.